College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Virginia head coach Tony Bennett. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. And send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And I want to let you know that today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. You know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high. No, Geico can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to Geico and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, a lot of bullet points right now in college basketball to hit as we are about 4 weeks away from the start of the 2021 college basketball season. Some big news last week out of Lexington, Kentucky. The NCAA ruled both Olivier Saar and Jacob Toppin, transfers from Wake Forest in Rhode Island, eligible for the 2021 season. As we know, it feels like right now that the NCAA is handing out waivers to transfers like their seedless watermelon at a 4th of July party. It's all trending towards everybody one time in their college career being able to transfer without penalty. Anyways, in the immediate future, what does this mean? To me, this means that Kentucky is now a consensus top 10 team to start next season. I have the Wildcats at number 6, only one player back from last season in Keon Brooks. But adding Olivier Saar to a front court that includes Keon Brooks, that includes Isaiah Jackson, a talented freshman who I'm told has been a massive surprise out of the gate in Lexington, means that Kentucky is pairing depth on the front line with two elite one-and-done caliber wings in Terrence Clark and BJ Boston. Now, Kentucky doesn't have the experience of Tennessee or LSU, but the talent base is there. And John Calipari has always said that he would take talent over experience 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. I would expect Kentucky to struggle early and be really, really good late. And I think in college basketball this year, you are going to see a more difficult transition for freshmen in the sport than we've seen in quite some time, because there hasn't been a normal offseason and preseason of training. There hasn't been the acclimation process that freshmen normally get when they get to their school in the summer and then start to have a summer and fall workout routine. Another thing that is directly correlated to that in college basketball, and it's a big reason why we've had some delays at certain schools, Marquette is the latest to go through it, is because right now we have a situation in college basketball where if one player tests positive for COVID-19, there is a 14-day mandatory quarantine, not just for the player that tested positive, but for the entire team. This, to me, folks, is the biggest hurdle for college basketball getting through the 2021 season. It's something that needs to be amended. I understand it's a healthcare guideline, but this to me is the elephant in the room when you think about getting through this season and getting to the NCAA tournament, because I understand if one player is testing positive for COVID-19, that the player needs to be removed from the premises. And I do know from talking to coaches that the first thing that starts when a player is testing positive is the contact tracing. But a 14-day quarantine for one positive test is going to make it really, really difficult for us to have a full and comprehensive
college basketball season. That's really becoming a factor as, again, we inch about to about 4 weeks away from the start of the season. One other bullet point from over the weekend, The Athletic reported that Arizona received its notice of allegations from the NCAA, which featured five level one violations. This is obviously comparable to what Kansas received from the NCAA, and obviously there's going to be a long, drawn-out process right now. Arizona is going to contest this, and then it's going to be something that we're not going to find what the actual penalties are for a really, really long time. Just like I said, when Kansas got its NOA from the NCAA, I think you should expect a lack of head coach control charge. I think you should expect a postseason ban of at least 1 year, and I think you should expect a suspension for the head coach. But as we've seen with these penalties in regards to programs that have been linked to the FBI scandal a couple years ago, that's just about 3 years ago now, October 2017, the penalties so far, and I'm going by what we saw with Oklahoma State, have the idea in mind that they're going to be much more severe. So if Oklahoma State, for what it was hit with, which was a postseason ban of this year, is getting that, I would expect the penalties for Arizona and Kansas, whenever they come out, and I'm not expecting them for a long time, to be very, very substantial. Now, substantial is something that I would use to describe Virginia's success under Tony Bennett. Won a national championship in 2019, won 15 ACC games a year ago. What does Tony Bennett have on tap for the 2021 season in Charlottesville? We'll find out when the aforementioned head coach of Virginia, Tony Bennett, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Before we talk to Virginia's Tony Bennett, I want to tell you about Coors Light. You know, we talk about how athletes always have to be on their game. We complain when they're not. That's not fair. We all know how hard it can be when people expect us to be on all the time. Well, luckily for us as sports fans, we get to kick back and chill while they do all the work. And that's why for me, when the game is on, I'm reaching for the one beer that's made to chill, Coors Light. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, literally made to chill. Their cold activated bottles and cans even let me know when it's the perfect temperature. When the mountains turn blue, it's officially time to chill, to slow down the pace and enjoy the taste. The mountains are calling. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing, crisp, and only 102 calories. It's inspiration from a higher elevation. That's why Coors Light is the one I choose when I need a moment of chill. So when you want to reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. You can have Coors Light delivered by going to get.coorslight.com and finding local delivery options near you. That's get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Virginia is still the reigning NCAA champions in college basketball because we did not have an NCAA tournament last March. Their head coach is Tony Bennett. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And coach, you know, there's one question that I think everybody needs an answer to, and it's been ignored in every media session you've done in the last couple of months. How many times did you binge watch the Rocky series during the pandemic?
Unfortunately, I didn't watch that. I've tried many others, but I did not get to that. But if there's any more shutdowns, I might have to go back and visit that. So hopefully I won't be, right?
What was the go-to for Tony Bennett to pass the time during the pandemic when he wasn't focused on his team and his players? What did you guys have on Netflix or Hulu?
Well, I tell you, I mentioned this one before, but Sunderland Till I Die, that's a pretty good sports story, a live story, or a true story about English soccer. That's good. And we actually was just in the middle of Money Heist. That was pretty solid. Yellowstone, so there's a couple. Everybody says Ozarks, and that's good, but you know, you sort of work through them. And I actually played a lot of tennis, so that was fun. And you know, you make the most of it, got to be with your family, and you just try to find the positives when you're not able to do as many things as you can.
Tony Bennett plays tennis. A couple of years ago, we found out that Tony Bennett likes R. Kelly. So we're seeing much more than a coach who obviously leads a stout defense and a consistent basketball program.
I like some of R. Kelly's songs. I don't know if everything, but I enjoy Tony's songs.
Fair enough. You know, Tony, it's funny. You know, a couple of years ago, a lot of people thought it was a tragedy when you lost in the NCAA tournament to UMBC. And now we've seen, you know, just a couple of years later, obviously, after you won a national title, how much tragedy we've dealt with in our world. How much, as you continue to see what's happened during the calendar year 2020, do you gain perspective based on not what we're dealing with, obviously, in the sports world, but in the world in general?
Yeah, no, perspective. Look, even when we got beat, I understood. You just look at life and you see people who really struggle with losing loved ones or sickness or, you know, loss of jobs. There's so many things that are worse. But again, when you're dealing with young men and something is really important to you and you go through a real time of adversity, it sort of kind of refines you and makes you think about what matters. It just, anytime you're dealing with stuff, it just drives you to what really matters. And not that it's comfortable, but I wouldn't say it's always necessarily a bad thing. And I think, you know, with obviously when we lost, there was that situation, but even in this situation, you sort of go to the things that give you, you know, hope and that are trustworthy. And that's why you always lean on those who care for you, your family, your friends, your faith, things you enjoy doing. And as we always talk about it, you got to hold things with open hands because you can't figure this out. And, you know, it's just you're hopeful that there's going to be better days. And sometimes struggle brings that, as we know from, you know, our personal experiences. But through the COVID, through, you know, a lot of the things we're seeing with the protests and the racial injustice. And I just pray that a brighter day is coming in all areas.
Well, you mentioned that obviously what we're dealing with from a health perspective, we've touched on the racial injustice after the tragedy surrounding George Floyd. And we're also, you know, preparing now to witness the most divisive presidential election that, you know, might be in the history of our country. As you guide your players and your team through all these events during such a formative time in their life, are you more teacher or coach?
I think you're always both. It's just education. You know, first it falls upon you as a leader or a coach and these young men to educate yourself about issues that are important to them. And then it's, you know, you can never go wrong with a compassionate heart and just listening and understanding. And everybody has a different experience. And I think you just use those things where there's trust, and that's what you're always trying to build with your teams and, you know, how you play, what you do. But in those relationships and time builds that where there's trust and there can be real candidness or honesty. And I think that's a big part of it. And just kind of walking with each other's struggles and then trying to, you know, grow together, figure things out. And certainly you walk alongside and then certain, you know, you share certain things, but I think it's kind of, coach or teacher, friend, and learner. And it's all those things all in one.
Virginia head coach Tony Bennett joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, trust is something that, you know, teams have to have if they're going to have successful seasons. And your team through 18 games last year was 12-6 and 4-4 in ACC play. How did you then move on to win 11 of your final 12?
Yeah, I think we had, you know, well, really good play. I just think it was such a unique year. We had such a different team, and part of that was just maturity and growing together. We had won the championship the year before, and we were trying to find ourselves. You know, you don't always find your identity right at the start of the season. You have to go through some of those ups and downs and see what works, and then we got real good leadership. I thought, you know, who he's not with us this year, but Mamadi Diakite and obviously Braxton Key are two seniors at that time. They took a step, and when that happened and some of our younger guys got a little more established, you could just feel it. And we won more with our defense last year. We weren't super efficient offensively. We struggled to shoot the ball and had some areas that we just kind of locked in and became real tough defensively and scored. You know, we were just efficient enough or scored enough to win a lot of close games, and we started playing good ball. And, you know, it was good to see because now those guys, they've done so much, and, you know, then it was hard that they didn't get a chance because we were hot and we were healthy down the stretch, and that's a big thing.
Well, you know, you mentioned obviously the offensive struggles. I looked it up. You had the lowest points per game average, the lowest field goal percentage, and the lowest three-point field goal percentage that you have had for one of your teams since you've been the head coach of Virginia, but you still finished a game out of first place in the ACC. As you evaluate yourself, do you do a better coaching job when you have a season like last season or a season like you had 2 years ago when you won a national championship?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It really, as I always say, the players get the credit, and they should get the blame too, I always say. I'm just kidding. But coaches get too much credit, too much blame. I mean, there's someone in there. But what was remarkable about last year is, you know, because of those numbers, if you looked at our numbers, you'd say there's no way they're going to be fighting for an ACC championship last game of the year, or right. they're not going to be, you know, ranked or that. They just, you can't with those numbers. And that's why I marvel. They found a way, you know, though we didn't shoot the ball well, we weren't great, they found a way to just eke out some wins, play tough-minded basketball. And that's hard to do because you talk about every team has a fairly small margin of error at college basketball because there's parity. But our team, you know, it got even smaller, so they had to work that margin. And I was, you know, amazed at that because just we lost so much scoring and so much versatility from the national championship team. And we did it a little different way, a little more interior oriented. So again, the players responded both years. They were, I think, remarkable. The players, I made a lot of mistakes along the way, but also learned a lot as a coach and our staff. And that's just kind of you're always a forever learner, as I say.
Well, scoring and versatility should come a little bit easier for this team because you add an impact transfer in Sam Hauser from Marquette. What is the biggest difference in Sam Hauser right now as we're 4 weeks away from the start of the 2021 season versus the Sam Hauser that arrived on Virginia's campus?
Well, he was good when he arrived. He was good in high school. He was really well coached in high school, just knew how to play, and we recruited him out of high school. And then, you know, Woger did a great job with him at Marquette, and he played on good teams there. So he came in with a lot of experience and was well coached from little on up. And then, you know, we got him. And anytime you get a year to just go to work in the weight room physically and then, you know, just hone your skills, that's a positive. So Sam, I think he's just moved he's just gotten a little better in all those areas. And there was a lot to work with to start. And he's very clear on who he is as a player. Like for someone, you know, that's as good as him, he understands the game. He knows what he's good at. He knows where he has to, you know, let it come. And that's just that's rare for someone of that ability. And I really like that. And, you know, again, he wants to win. Great teammate and a hard worker. And he'll do whatever you ask him to do, which is, again, real fun to coach so far.
You know, Tony, you mentioned, you know, some of the struggles your teams had offensively last year. How much pressure will a guy like Sam Hauser take off guys like Kihei Clark, like Thomas Woldetensei, like Jay Huff, who might have been forced into a role last season that they weren't as comfortable with, but now could be in a role similar to what they were 2 years ago when they played around a couple of guys like Jerome, Kyle Guy, and DeAndre Hunter?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, and Sam, because he's versatile, he can certainly stretch the floor with his ability to shoot. He can play some three, play some four, you know, so you have that versatility there. And that'll help. And, you know, again, those guys that were forcing those roles that, you know, Jay didn't play as much 2 years ago, and then Jay really got invaluable experience playing and started playing some good basketball, especially down the stretch. Same with Kihei, you know, we sort of had to put a lot on his shoulders. So I hope those experiences will help him. And then the addition of Sam will take some pressure off, and they'll have improved from that and be better. And, again, yeah, finding where you can impact the game the most. So I think we lose some quality players in Braxton and Malmedy, especially rebounding defense and some interior scoring. But, you know, again, we'll have to replace that. But Sam's ability to stretch the floor and space the floor, that helps a lot offensively.
Virginia head coach Tony Banninger on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Tony, which returning player do you think makes the biggest jump this season for Virginia?
Well, we've got a number of them that, you know, were very inexperienced last year, and they got, as you said, a lot of playing time from Casey Morcell to, you know, Thomas and Cody Statman, Thomas Woldetensei, you say it better than I do, actually, or Tomas, go either way. But those guys got some valuable time. And even, you know, Jay didn't play a lot, so he got a lot of minutes and established himself. So I think, I don't know who it's going to be, John, but I think it's going to be really important that it's one or two of those guys that have some experience that can take another step. And that's going to be really important. I think, you know, Sam, obviously, there's always a little rust for a guy that set out, but he's a proven player. you know, Kihei, though, he's an upperclassman, he's proven. And so those guys who didn't play as much, you know, whether they were first year, second year, third years, I just think there's a handful of them that can give us something. So again, it'll be strength in numbers for sure.
It is very difficult to play significant minutes at Virginia as a freshman. You, though, are bringing to the table a number of players that come to Charlottesville with significant pedigree. Which newcomers, other than Sam Hauser, do you think will have the biggest impact on Virginia next season?
Yeah, well, we've actually had, you know, you go back to Malcolm and Ty and Joe Harris and Kyle, those guys played as freshmen. So if you're able, you'll play. You know, the longer your program gets established, it is harder for some to come in. But we've got a group. We had a redshirt. I'll start with that. Caden Shedrick, you know, so he'll play as a freshman. You know, he'll be a freshman this year, first year. And then the natural freshmen are Reese Beekman, Jabri Abdul-Rahim, and Carson McCorkle. And like all typical incoming guys, they've all shown flashes. And then they've shown like, okay, there's areas that they got to work on. So we're going to need, again, one or two of those first years to give us something. So there's opportunity there. And then, you know, the other guys just have to continue to be patient and work with it. But they all have certainly a nice talent or skill set, and they've been really good to coach so far, and they work hard. And, you know, again, I think we're going to need one or two of those guys to give us a bump this year.
You know, you mentioned Caden Shedrick, who sat out last season redshirted, as did Sam Hauser. Redshirting players at Virginia has been an integral part to your program's success. And in college basketball now, it's almost like less and less players want a redshirt or see the benefits of a redshirt season. I looked this up, Tony. You know, Virginia and Villanova have won the last two national championships. 16 players from those teams combined played in the last two national title games. 9 of those players redshirted. 4 were first-round picks, and 2 were lottery picks. And now we're kind of headed towards a way in college basketball, if this transfer rule obviously goes into play, where a one-time transfer is accepted. Why do you think, you know, we're in a situation now where the redshirt year is being less valued?
Well, it's just kind of a sign of the times, right? It's kind of the instant gratification. Those are impressive stats. I didn't realize that. You can't deny it. You improve with time, whether you're redshirting, whether you're playing. Experience matters, and I always like to ask our players, you and our team, all right, if you played yourself in a game, you know, a year ago, one-on-one or in a 5-on-5 game, would you be able to outplay yourself a year ago or dominate yourself? And if you can't answer yes, then you haven't worked hard enough, but you're just a better player than you were from your first year to your second year and of course, your fifth year to your fourth year to your third year. There's no question. And I know, you know, so much of it is geared towards the NBA. And unless you're one of those guys that just is so elite and so talented, you're better off. You get one crack at that. And I know having played there, and you better be as airtight and as ready as you can be. And so, again, some players can do it in a year or two, and they're gifted enough. But most of the rest are going to be guys that need to have their game at its highest level. And, you know, there's something about, again, experience, age, strength that matters. Unless, again, you're one of those, you know, guys that's just so talented. And there's not a lot of those out there.
Tony, you know, you mentioned, obviously, people always getting better with time. And another thing that I think helps people get better in college basketball is when their roles are defined. That's directly related to roster management. I was studying your roster earlier today from last year. You had 12 guys on scholarship, but Caden Shedrick redshirted, Sam Hauser redshirted. So if you were playing a conference game, you had 10 guys that you knew were capable of going in a game. Right. It's a lot easier to manage your roster that way. If we're going to see a scenario in college basketball where redshirting is not the norm because of this new transfer rule, do you think we could regularly see teams have less than 13 players on scholarship because it's more difficult to manage?
Great questions. You know, you can look at it both ways. It's hard. And, you know, even if this, I believe this year, you know, that this year is technically, it doesn't really count in terms of your eligibility. I think that's signed, sealed, and delivered. So some may say, well, what's the value of redshirting? You got that coming out. It's going to be challenging to keep that, whether you have a smaller number or you fill it up. And, you know, hopefully guys will be patient. You can't play 13 guys. You can't. And some guys are going to have to be willing to wait for their time. And if not, you're going to see probably even more transfers, which isn't ideal. And obviously with the, as you said, you don't have to sit out for that one time. You can see that becoming where schools, well, we'll just probably recruit off the transfer portal a lot more. It does change things a bit. I don't exactly know, you know, there's a lot of rule changes that are going to be very interesting with name, image, and likeness, one-time transfer exception. You know, obviously this year with the season counting, because it affects recruiting, it's just a different time in college basketball, unlike any I've ever seen. And that's not just me speaking. That's us as coaches. And so, again, all you know how to do is you get the best quality of player and hardworking young men you can and try to pursue something good. And you're honest with your players. You know, that's the one thing. They can project, they can feel it if you're phony. Say, look, this is what I see, and let's keep working, and hopefully guys will fight the good fight and stay with it. And if it doesn't work that way, then you got to figure out what's next. But it will be an interesting time for sure.
Virginia head coach Tony Bennett joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, an interesting time is definitely something that we're living with right now every day through COVID-19. You know, I'm curious what obviously the protocols are going to be like for every league in college basketball, because it seems like a bit of a moving target. Has the ACC communicated, you know, what the protocols are going to be for dealing with the virus if there's a positive test this season?
You know, I guess, sure, you'll follow football. Maybe volleyball is the closest thing we can look at in terms of an indoor sport, because, you know, basketball is different than football. I mean, besides the three tests a week leading up to it, you know, as far as a positive, I think that's fairly standard, or whatever CDC says, or your state or local government has. I mean, there's those things, but I thought it was pretty standard. You get a positive test, it's a 10-day or, you know, 3 days without symptoms, things like that. I think the issue, you know, in our coaching, ACC coaches, Josh Pastner is kind of all over it. He thinks, and as all of us are, he's you know, certainly convinced me, the contact tracing is the major issue for, you know, interruptions and things, how that looks and what that means. And if it's everyone in the gym, or, you know, there's so many, that's where there's some variance. But if it's hard and fast, you know, 14 days for anybody there, you're going to have some major interruptions if we have some close contacts, for sure, or contact tracing.
Well, you know, there's obviously going to be hurdles. We're going to have to deal with that. But, you know, at some point here, we are going to get on the floor and have a season. Obviously, it always helps when you have players back. You have that. You add a player who is exceptionally accomplished at Marquette and Sam Hauser. What are the biggest keys for Virginia to get back in a situation in late February, early March that they've been in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years?
Yeah, I think it is establishing, because you always look at it, what do you have to replace? Because then I think, can we be, you know, rock solid enough on that baseline defensively? Because in rebounding, you know, first, you always start with, okay, your defense, you look at your defense offense, but I think what we're losing is tough. So can we, you know, compete on the glass, defend the front court? You know, a lot of teams are playing 4 out, 5 out. So there's that stuff. And then, you know, again, did we improve enough? You know, did we improve enough in the off season? So if we can answer the call on the glass and the defensive, you know, baseline, so to speak, I think, you know, then there'll be opportunities, and obviously keeping everyone healthy to be a good ball club. I just don't know. It's too hard to say without getting the scrimmage teams. You'll have to get a good gauge early on with your play. And I think that if there are interruptions, it just could be different, you know, with your chemistry and, you know, kind of the rhythm, that all those things remain to be seen, but there's only so many things you can worry about, and you just try to get better each day. So I like this group. If we can improve or keep getting better in those areas, I think those are areas that I'm keeping a close eye on, and trust me, we're working hard on them in practice.
Final thing, Tony, you know, I remember in 1999 when Jim Calhoun won his first national championship at Connecticut, he said the first thing he thought of after he won and beat Duke in the title game was how great it would be to win another one. How often after beating Texas Tech, you know, 18 months ago, have you thought of winning a second national championship at Virginia?
Well, I think I've thought of that the moment I coached. You know, I wasn't going to go into coaching. I did not. I watched. My sister was a great coach. She actually won Division III national championships, Big Ten conference tournament. And I watched her, watched my dad, and I'm like, I think coaching is crazy. I just want to play as long as I can, and why would I jump that on that roller coaster? I really watched it. I'm like, this is not for me. And so, you know, I decided to come. I knew my dad was getting close to retiring, so I said, you know what, I'll volunteer and help them out as a volunteer manager. So when I did that, and it really wasn't even to get into coaching, it's just like I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I wanted to, you know, finish out with my dad. I thought it'd be a cool way to go with him. Well, that's the year they went to the Final Four. Wisconsin did in 2000. And once I got a taste of that as just a volunteer manager,
right?
I mean, I was just captivated in a way that I haven't been. And I said, oh, my gosh, I want to coach. I want to experience this. I would love to get my team, you know, kind of at first was to a Final Four because that's the promised land. So that has always been there. And then, you know, as we started knocking on that door at Virginia, you know, I just – It sort of has motivated me. That's every year. It's certainly the regular season, but it's always about, can you get to a Final Four? Can you win a national championship? And then when you do it, you think, okay, I'm good. Well, I mean, I'm always going to be good because there's perspective, but no, it makes you want to want some more of those. So that's for sure.
Well, Tony, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Stay safe. And as always, look forward to covering your team and staying connected along the way.
Yeah, good talking to you, John.
We'd like to thank Virginia's Tony Bennett for joining us on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. But before we get to the social media portion of the program, ever since I started out, people have been asking me for advice on all kinds of things. But in covering sports, it's usually about who's going to win and what team they should bet on. This weekend, there are some great NCAA football matchups. You have Michigan taking on their rival Michigan State. Also, Penn State hosts Ohio State. Can Clemson continue to dominate? They take on Boston College. And a pick'em game in the SEC as Auburn takes on LSU. Not to mention the NFL action and even election odds. Definitely a fun time of year, and the best piece of advice I can give to anyone is where you're betting. It's just as important as who you're betting on. It's why I always tell people to visit MyBookie. They've got deposit matches, free bets, and huge cash prizes for a contest that you can take advantage of all season long. NFL action? Check. College ball? Check. Plus, they have a mobile-friendly website and top-of-the-line customer service, making their platform a one-stop shop for all your betting needs. MyBookie offers action on everything from championship futures to NFL in-game live betting, making sure you're covered every step of the way. Congrats if you were one of the ones to cash in on the generous early season odds on the Lakers to win the NBA championship. Sign up at MyBookie today, and when you do, use our promo code Rothstein to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on winning your season. That's promo code Rothstein for you to claim your bonus when you make your deposit. Stacked UFC cards, presidential prop bets, all the major sports, and more await you. Sign up today to begin your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Tommy Sirwinski, and it's, John, what is Arizona State ceiling? To me, Arizona State is a dark horse Final Four team next season. I think the combination of Remy Martin, Alonzo Verge, Josh Christopher, Marcus Bagley give the Sun Devils as good a perimeter as we're going to have in college basketball. Have to find a way, though, to rebound the basketball. My next question comes from Joe Mack, and it's, John, what is Iona's ceiling under Rick Pitino? Funny you should ask that, Joe. I was at Iona practice last week. Love the energy. Love the enthusiasm that Rick Pitino coaches with. He coaches every single dribble on every single possession. Iona, to me, looks like a potential overachieving team in the MAC. The talent level for Iona, to me, still needs to be obviously retooled to the point where it could be one of the best mid-majors in the country. Obviously, the expectations are going to be high with Rick Pitino as the coach, but it wouldn't shock me to see Iona trending upward as a mid-major in January and February, getting closer and closer to the MAC tournament. Our next question comes from Johnny B. Good, and it's, John, is Missouri a sleeper team this year? I think you're spot on, Johnny. No team in the SEC returns a higher percentage of scoring than Missouri. And remember, this team had injuries last year. Jeremiah Tillman and also Mark Smith missed time with injury. Konzo Martin has a team that is a sleeper in the SEC. I think next year has a chance to be Konzo Martin's best team at Missouri. I know the team he had with Michael Porter Jr., when Michael Porter Jr. didn't play, wound up in an 8-9 game in the NCAA tournament. But this Missouri team is a team that could overachieve nationally. Five Good Nuggets this week is being brought to you by Geico. It's October, and what does that mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. See how much you could save. Get a quote today at geico.com. Now, let's get to those nuggets.
Five Good Nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, tales from Durham. Highly placed spies in Durham are highlighting the effectiveness and the importance of Duke freshman Mark Williams. The 7-footer has to give Duke mileage up front this year in the pivot. Nugget number two, remember the name? How could you forget? Many folks in Tallahassee have relayed word to me that Florida State is looking to use Scotty Barnes in a point forward role this season like Ben Simmons. Don't be shocked if Barnes winds up as the best freshman to play for Leonard Hamilton. I know he's had some great ones during his storied career. Nugget number three, Roller Coaster 2020. This pertains to Penn State, whose head coach Pat Chambers stepped down last week. Think about what Penn State has endured as a basketball program over the last 6 or 7 months. They had their best season ever under Pat Chambers. They were going to be a 5 or a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament, one at Michigan, one at Michigan State. The NCAA tournament is then canceled due to COVID-19. Penn State can't experience that tournament under Pat Chambers. Then, after the tragedy over the summer with George Floyd, Rasir Bolton, who had transferred to Iowa State from Penn State, comes out in a statement and says that the reason why he opted to transfer to Iowa State is because Pat Chambers made a comment when he was trying to get Rasir Bolton to play a little bit more freely that he wanted to loosen the noose around his neck. Pat Chambers then was the subject of an internal investigation by Penn State. He then resigned. Now former Duquesne coach and LIU head coach Jim Ferry is the interim head coach for Penn State for the season. It has been a roller coaster 2020 for the Penn State Nittany Lions. Nugget number four, a Posh setup. All signs, and this comes from watching St. John's practice last week, point towards Posh Alexander getting the keys to the car for St. John's at freshman. The burly freshman is built like a fullback with hops, but he can run Mike Anderson's team. I was really impressed with this kid last week at St. John's practice. And nugget number five, on the road again. I'm endeavoring this week to get out to New Jersey, to visit at Rutgers, to obviously head out to Seton Hall as well to see the Pirates. It's obviously a different type of year getting into practices and getting on the campuses with COVID-19, but had a good week last week seeing St. John's and Iona, hoping to get a couple more on the docket this week. We'd like to thank Virginia head coach Tony Bennett for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.